P.S. I Love Hoffman is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
It's coming to a close, Kyle. It's almost there. We have part one of two of the last two movies
we'll speak about. This has been...
Ever.
This has been something.
Certainly has. And, I mean, I guess this is one of the last times we can really react to the Hoff fans' comments, and or at least read them on air. We react to them off air all the time. But,
yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, let's just dive right into this one, I think. So, I found this cool comment on The Invention of Lying, which was more of the Ricky Gervais show than the Philip Seymour Hoffman show.
And then the one-minute Philip Seymour Hoffman cameo.
But it seems like the Hoff fans agree. Matthew said, "That's funny. The other day I was like, Ricky Gervais thinks he's really funny. He's not that funny. But I like him enough. Meh." I guess that's fair, right?
Like, you know, I love a good... Well, I say eh, but I love a good...
Yeah, you know, that's the general reaction. And fair. Sure. With that movie, fair.
And then after that, we had Jack Goes Boating, his directorial debut and the only film he ever directed. This was cool. We got Matt said that he worked with him on Leap of Faith.
Way back when.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Leap of Faith. Long time ago.
And for the first 3 days or so, he thought that Philip Seymour Hoffman was a gaffer, like just part of the crew. And then he was like, because he's part of the crew in the movie. Yeah, but he goes into detail and says he was telling me about the lights, electrical system, etc. He was staying in character because he was playing a roadie, and it was fun time. And on the third day, when I realized he was getting camera time, I asked him how that happened, and he said, "My agent, dude."
So, oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah,
that's great awesome. To hear. I mean, dedication to the role. Does that surprise you at all, though?
No,
especially early.
Validating. Thank you. I was going to say rewarding. Validating is a very good word for it.
Moneyball got a lot of buzz, a lot of comments. Thomas said, "How does someone
a lot get of the- hits?"
Hits. Oh, I was like, "What do you mean?" I went over my head there, but yes, a lot of hits, a lot of walks because they're equal to hits.
Ah,
Moneyball.
Oh, yeah.
But Thomas said, "How does someone get to play Art Howe?" I don't know. He got cast as agent.
Yes. Friends with Bennett Miller since college.
Yeah. I mean, that sums it up. Matt said it's one of the greatest movies of all time. You know I like it. Rick said, "I highly recommend the book. I saw the film first, and that's why I read the book. The film is very good, but the book is engrossing." I also agree. And if you listen to that episode, you hear me talk about that book.
Well, that episode was totally for you. That, yeah.
But there's other comments I definitely want to talk about with Moneyball, because this is something I think I might have mentioned, and if I missed it, I want to address. Kenny says, "Very good film, but they make no reference to Mulder, Hudson, and Zito."
Yes, I remember in me being lost between you and Joey talking baseball.
So Mulder, Hudson, and Zito were three great pitchers the A's had that year, and was a big part of the reason they turned it around and won all those games.
But they weren't crucial to Hollywood.
No, but they also weren't... I don't want to say crucial, but they also weren't a part of the book. That part of the book was eliminated as well. So it's not just the film's fault. That's the book's fault. But the author said, "I didn't want to write a book about the Oakland A's. I'm writing about analytics in baseball." That part really didn't have much to do with it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was his argument. And then last comment I'll say about Moneyball, Matthew said, "I never saw that because I hate baseball so much." Thank you, Matthew.
All right, Matthew.
Thank you.
Well,
Whoa. Actually, I need to read this one, too, because it's similar.
Okay.
"I love when people share like this. Dale said, I received this movie as a gift on Christmas 2016, and I've yet to open it." That's not a good move, Dale. Open that, you'll enjoy it. And that's rude
to
whoever...
Get off your ass, Dale.
That's rude to whoever gave you that gift.
Yeah.
Wow, someone's considerate, someone thinks, "Hey, Dale's going to like this movie, I know Dale." And then no, you're like, "I'm not even going to open it." So Dale, we used to do this, but was your like little warning?
Wow, this is a callback.
Let's bring it back.
You're on notice?
Yeah, you're on notice, Dale.
As we thrust our index fingers forward.
Yeah, we always did that. I guess you just never heard through the microphones, but...
Imagine it. Now you're thinking. and just like Moneyball, Ides of March got a lot That's actually the opposite, because there was one from Matt. Was a good film.
That's it.
The only comment
that was
we
the
got
only comment
on
Ides of March. It was recently the Ides of March, the real Ides of March.
Yeah.
Did you get stabbed in the back?
I'm always stabbed in the back by my friends.
Not yet. Someone argued that is not true. But well, you're the man of integrity. So.
I am a man.
So.
All right, what's the next one on your list?
The Master, one of your favorites.
Well,
we knew it was going to be controversial.
Yeah.
So let me just read through some of these. Khalid said, really need to rewatch The Master. It's one of the few P.T. Anderson films I didn't initially love. That's a sentiment we get from a lot of people.
Sure, and I tell people right away to rewatch it. Yeah.
Cameron said, I fell in love with this movie no more than 5 minutes in. It's still to this day my absolute favorite film of all time.
Was that Cameron Crowe?
No, Cameron Call. Oh. We don't say the last name. Sorry, Cameron Call something. Ford said, brilliant. But Dario said, love this movie. Ariana said, awesome, R.I.P. Philip. But then Tom said, terrible. Jeff said, greatest film ever. So,
well, yeah, that's
polarizing film. Does it get
polarizing? Not in depth polarizing, but polarizing nonetheless. Boy, there was none for Late Quartet. So moving on, we've got for Catching Fire, and one on that. What was that?
That was the beginning of like the.
I don't remember that. But Alyssa said,
sometimes comes, anyway.
Movie was a massive improvement over the first one to me. I really disliked the first Hunger Games. We kind of talked about it.
You know why?
With Kara.
You know why she disliked it?
Shaky camera?
No Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh.
It's the difference maker.
There
it,
you
the
go,
maker.
Alyssa.
And we'll get into more Hunger Games today, so I hope you're listening today.
Yes.
So one more comment I'd like to say. Kaya... commented on God's Pocket, but it wasn't about God's Pocket. It was actually about a movie that you were brought up before, Jack Goes Boating.
Yes.
Said, it hurt when you guys didn't like Jack Goes Boating, and that was my first podcast, but I get it. It wasn't great. I just miss him so much. We miss him, too. And,
yeah.
You know, maybe we'll do a Jack Goes Boating rewatch.
I think I told them, if you want like a happy one, listen to Along Came Polly.
Yeah.
Like a good vibes
it's
episode.
True. Yeah, we are actually very positive with Philip Seymour Hoffman movies and Philip Seymour Hoffman's work.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll rewatch Jack Goes Boating. I feel like it's owed a rewatch, but we appreciate your comments. We like the feedback, and, I mean... keep them coming for the little episodes we have left.
Yeah, well, I have
one more
movie, A Most Wanted Man. And for A Most Wanted Man, we had Khalid saying such a great movie and performance, and then Tony, I remember, didn't they reach out to us one time? Tony, I can't remember. I think they did. I'm sorry. It's been a while. That ending with him playing the piano, and then like the not an emoji heart, but you know the less than and then a three to make a heart. Thank you, Tony. And then Robert, the very last shot of his character turning away is shattering. Alyssa commented again with,
wow, all of them,
an amazing farewell performance. My dad got me to watch the movie, and we both loved it. And then Bren said, great movie. So you know what? And these are plenty of people that have commented again before. So as Brian was saying, thank you guys always so much for commenting. You guys are true Hoff fans, and we hope that you've enjoyed the journey with us. If you're just joining us now, go back and check it out.
Yeah, and as we bring this podcast to a close... we'll be very appreciative, but we cannot say enough about the support from our Hoff fans. But let's do this. Let's usher in these Hunger Games. There's no games in this one.
Let's mock this J. Mock. Yeah. Yeah. Bird.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
You lost me. You lost me.
Iggy Pop! Amen! Let it rock! I'm a fucking idiot.
Red meat, we crave sustenance.
I'm an artist.
Hello, my name is Truman Capote.
Why don't you have some fun?
Fun, fun.
Tommy,
that's a cave thing.
Whoever she is, I'm gonna find her and I'm gonna hurt her.
I've spent the past 3 years learning Finnish.
I'm always home, I'm uncool.
This is a process of dehypnotization.
Shut up!
I'm gonna miss hearing that theme song. The good thing about podcasts is that we could just listen anytime we want.
It's always there.
It exists as long as the internet exists.
This is my, I don't think I'll ever be worthy of a statue in some park someday or something, but this
a statute.
Let's say I have those already.
A statue, no, but. Hey, Hoff fans. Welcome to this week's edition of the P.S. I Love Hoffman podcast, our love letter to the remarkable career of the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman. I'm Brian Rodriguez.
And I am Kyle Reinfried.
We're always home, we're always uncool, and we're always ready to talk great movies. Kyle, give me the sound effect. And it's funny, in this one, you actually see, the propaganda thing, and it reminds me of, a crappy trailer.
Oh, my God. This movie is weird and cool ways and some bad and I don't know if it's an improvement to I think we agreed with Kara Catching Fire was an improvement. Obviously our main man was involved, but I think it was a better film than the original Hunger Games. But this I think it falls into an awkward category since there was only three books and it's and it's got that classic split.
It's not classic. I feel like it's a new thing.
Okay, new, yeah. But, well, it's becoming kind of a classic.
Yeah, it's becoming what to do. But it's Mockingjay Part 1, the first part of the conclusion of the Hunger Games.
Final book in
trilogy.
Book trilogy.
But yeah. I guess story trilogy because it's parts of a story. We don't get a games in this one. It's war. I would say I enjoyed it, and like I said, I've been enjoying this series more than I thought I would,
mm-hmm.
but it is definitely a movie that feels like it's all to set up the last film.
Yes. I mean, most of this movie is underground in the bunker of District 13. We go out, we see a couple districts.
Yeah, it's almost like these rules have been set and this world has been built, and then suddenly there's this new district,
yeah,
and it's resetting these rules, and it's all these things.
We're not getting the games, and we have minimal locations. And the fact that that was broken up from one book, it feels a little out of balance for me.
Well, I don't think it's fair to balance it without seeing two.
Yeah, that's
there's Godfather Part 1 and Godfather Part 2 are separate movies.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm guessing almost that we're going to get literally parts one and two of the same story.
Mm-hmm.
Almost, because it does come from the same book.
Well, and this also comes from the point that they filmed it all at once.
Yeah, that's a good point. So you have a lot of...
Which plays a big part into Philip Seymour Hoffman's infamous... not being CGI'd into part two, but
yeah,
he's in this.
And I'm not sure if he is actually CGI'd into part two. We still got to figure that out. I'm read conflicting things.
Yeah,
to say that they ended up.
I feel like I've seen some stills that looked pretty
But so I was trying to look into this, and I've read a lot of places that say that they opted not to do that.
Well,
but we'll get into it
next episode.
There's no CGI Philip Seymour Hoffman in this one.
No, we kind of get some PSH pretty early on in this. So.
Pretty early on, consistently through.
Yeah.
He's one of the ensemble. He's a great part of that ensemble. And if you didn't listen to our Catching Fire podcast, please listen to that one. And we thank Kara again for being on that one, because you're going to even be more confused if you listen to this.
Sure, yeah.
But Kyle, tell everybody what Mockingjay Part 1 is about.
The games are over. Katniss destroyed them and started the rebellion. And now she is in the mysterious District 13. Plutarch, played by...
I think it's Plutarch.
Plutarch. I don't say his name that much in this one.
No.
So I forgot. I apologize.
He's just because, he's no longer a celebrity. He's just one of the gang.
Yeah. But, played by our main man, PSH. along with President Alma Coyne, newcomer to the series, Julianne Moore, want Katniss to be the symbol of the rebellion, but Katniss has a lot of things to figure out first. A lot of internal struggle. So that's what ended up being, like, part one is about.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't think I've ever seen a film like this, where it's like a war movie, but it's all about the propaganda aspect.
At some points, this really reminded me of Starship Troopers.
Yeah, I could see that.
Just because, not like that is, obviously that film is much more satirical, Starship Troopers, but just, yeah, that, you know, the propaganda aspect, and definitely our main man has some fun with Jennifer Lawrence in this movie, and so Plutarch with Katniss as far as kind of being her director, at least, you know, in the studio.
Well, Rotten Tomatoes, 66%. Not that great, but it's still, like, a good, you know.
Yeah, but that's fresh. Not that great for...
It's not that great, yeah, for these. These are, like, the lower ranking, both of them. But 71% audience, so better. But the part two of this, Mockingjay Part 2, is the opposite. It is higher critic at 70, and the lower audience, 66. Now, we're talking, like, percentages here.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting. Okay, you know, it is weird, though. This is a weird film, and not in, like, a cool kind of weird. It's, like, a weirdly structured film.
Yeah, well, it doesn't have, I feel like, a full encompassing, like the acts aren't, like you said, like, structure. So structure-wise, it's just not the best flowing. And I feel like they linger on some scenes a little bit longer that they wouldn't have if someone said, no, you're making this into a 2 hour and 40, like, not an egregiously long movie, not Lord of the Rings, 3 hours plus, but if they said, you know, A Dark Knight Rises, 2 hours and 45 minutes.
They could have made it three, though. I think that, I get it, because probably, like, younger people's attention spans.
And they want to make more money.
Yes, I mean, ultimately, that's what it is. But it feels like almost any book could probably be made into two movies.
Yeah, in the most cases, but
not like
obviously. But then the book wasn't written that way. Not that books and films are written the same, like structurally the same way. But
no, I mean we're film guys, right? We're so used to
that's why books translate to TV better than film. I think in most
sometimes.
Cases.
I think though, you know, we're so used to the language of film that it's weird when this happens, you know. Have you ever seen, I guess I'll ask this, have you ever seen them do this? I know it's fairly popular now, but have you personally watched, like, Harry Potter did it for the last book?
Yeah.
I think Twilight might have done it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Twilight did it. I don't think Divergent series did it, because I think they'd run out of steam by that point. I don't know the other, like, 50 Shades of Grey didn't do it, because I think it was also like running out of steam. I'm sure if they were doing well, they probably would have found a way to do it. So have you personally not seen something that did this?
I mean the only other one I can think of is like a Harry Potter.
So I saw the Harry Potters and they were like pretty good, but it's felt like one of those things like, okay, I need a second half. So, I did not hate this movie. I actually liked this movie. But I feel like I liked it because I'm watching all the Hunger Games in a row. I don't think this is one where you could just pop in. I think Catching Fire, you might be a little confused.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you'd, like, get into the rhythm of it and kind of understand it quickly and pick up where they left off.
Yeah.
But I don't think you could just pop into this one.
I've never seen this one before.
Okay.
And again, this one... I had seen the ending. I'd seen the, like, PETA choking her, like, that part or whatever. But just the beginning of this movie, and I watched it. I found it, like, for free online. I didn't feel like paying. And it had, you know, like, the studio, you know, cards and stuff like that. But just the way it begun, I was like, is this the beginning? Like, since I wasn't watching it like an official thing like Amazon or whatever, I was like, is this the beginning? It just felt like the last movie ended on that plane, and they're heading to 13, and you've got, hey, Mitch, and Plutarch, and Finnick, and then I'm totally BT, right? That's
Jeffrey Wright.
Yeah, I think he's passed out on a table in, like, you know, where Katniss was, and that's where that movie ended. This one, she wakes up, and it seems like she's kind of, again, obviously, like the last movie where she's a character that's really struggling and has PTSD, but it just Finnick was very, like, a weak character in this movie versus the last movie, and he seemed fine on the plane. Like, it put me in a kind of like a perplexed state, just as far as like, oh, am I missing something?
I liked that, though. I liked that it put us in a perplexed state, because I felt like that. So Finnick, that's a great example. I didn't mind that he was that way, because what the hell does he know? He's been, like, living in his district in the capital back and forth, kind of being a celebrity. Sure. He's joined this cause. He doesn't know what he's getting into, kind of. And time has passed, right? He's living underground, and suddenly he's in this thing. I get, like, how he's kind of broken. Also, he's been away from I guess that's his girlfriend?
Yeah.
I didn't, like, realize that. I don't know. I wasn't sure. I forgot about that character completely. Do we even, like, see her a lot in Catching Fire?
No, because the older lady from...
Right? Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
And he just... How did they get her to the Capitol? That felt like... I don't know if that's in the book or not, but that felt kind of, like, forced. Like,
well, I think because that's, like, a closer district. Like, they went and they grabbed something to, like, you know... since they know
that them. Felt like a forced element. So we could care about him more, and so we could understand more of his brokenness. I got why he was broken because of that.
Yeah.
But it was like, oh, by the way, they got this girl too. Oh, God damn it, kind of thing. We don't get any info from the Capitol except that, you know. That part, I never really, like, liked his character too much. It's not his fault.
No. I guess just since, like, time has passed, like, I don't know, just... I was just a little, like, thrown back just from, like, this... I felt like it was a bit of, like, an awkward beginning.
I'm talking about it, but I want this movie to be darker, you know?
I wanted the first one to be dark. That was,
I like that confusion. And, like, I think that they should have made it a little bit more confusing. They should, like, for instance, okay, in Catching Fire, Plutarch, our guy, we're not really sure what side he's on.
Yeah.
You know? I wish we had more elements of that. I wish there was more Katniss being like, she's more like, oh, I don't want to fight for you because I want to save Peeta. She's not like, well, how do I know I can trust you guys? Or, like, why am I working for this government over that government?
Yeah.
Like, that's like, you know, I feel like that's where they should have swayed the confusion.
I know, without, like, saying to... I know certain things, and if... Because this is one book that... I'll just say this... What you're suggesting, like, kind of, like, exists as, like, the book. But we're missing it as a...
Well, no, yeah, no, I know. And I know some things, too. But let's not mention it so we don't spoil the next film. But there is, like... You're making two movies like this. You gotta sow some of that.
I completely agree.
You know, in the first, and rather than just... It felt like we were reading chapters instead. Same director, right?
Francis Lawrence, yes. And, I mean, we've got... It's a great cast. There's a few new people, but, you know, we've got Jennifer Lawrence, Josh Hutcherson, Liam Hemsworth, Woody Harrelson, Donald Sutherland, Jeffrey Wright, Stanley Tucci, obviously Philip Seymour Hoffman, Sam Claflin, Elizabeth Banks, and then, like, the newcomers, like, are really... Julianne Moore, who plays President Alma Coyne.
And it's nice because this is somebody who Philip Seymour Hoffman collaborated with a lot in his earlier career.
Yeah, this is the fourth and final collaboration.
Well, the next one would be.
Oh, sorry. Duh. Yeah. Forgot. Figured it was like one Mockingjay, but yeah.
Should have been. But yeah, and it hasn't been... What was the last one?
The last one was Magnolia came out after.
Yeah, Magnolia. And they do it actually went
Boogie Nights, Big Lebowski, Magnolia.
Yeah, and they do they share scenes in all of them?
Yes.
Lebowski's the one.
No,
that's not
she doesn't.
To my
no,
mind.
She doesn't share. She's not in a scene with him in Lebowski.
Okay, that's. I didn't think so.
Yeah,
but obviously,
Boogie Nights.
Though they're not like main interacting characters,
no.
But they're in like ensemble together.
Yes.
And then Magnolia, of course.
Yeah. And then the other newcomers are Marshala Ali, who plays Boggs,
Oscar winner.
Well, that's. I'm going to get to that. But
Natalie, I don't know what you're going to say. I don't predict your lines.
Natalie Dormer plays
not an Oscar winner.
No.
Cressida. Right.
Oh yeah, that's my D looks like an L.
from Game of
Cressida.
Thrones, of course.
Yes.
Marjorie Tyrell.
Saw a lot of her
when she first got cast on Game of Thrones or like was doing a lot of press events, I was like, why does she like a badass? Why the hell does she have half her head shaved? And then of course it's from doing the Hunger Games.
Yeah. And then the last one I just wrote down so it's Eldon Henson and he plays Pollux and that's Fulton from Mighty Ducks.
Yes, Fulton from Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
He's also in like the new Daredevil, right?
Yeah, new Daredevil. Yeah, he plays Foggy Bottom.
Is it Foggy Nelson?
Foggy Nelson, yeah, not Foggy Bottom.
Is it Foggy Bottom on Neighborhood?
The Neighborhood in DC, yeah.
DC fans, what's up?
What's up?
Another DC character is from, what's his name? You just said Ali. He's Remy Danton and
House of Cards, yeah.
But he won his Oscar for Moonlight.
Yes, so as you said, another Oscar winner. So we've got Jennifer Lawrence, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Julianne Moore, and Marshala Ali.
Cool.
Are four, and then there was plenty of other. There was also Woody Harrelson and Stanley Tucci have both been nominated for Oscars. I think Donald Sutherland.
Yeah, we said this I think on the last episode, the one before, that Donald Sutherland has no noms.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Ordinary people want, you know, like I don't know, whatever. But yeah. And those are the only, by the way, those are the only two. The fourth collaboration with Julianne Moore and four Oscar winners. That's like the two, like substantial Philip Seymour Hoffman trivia. So
again, and he's with Jeffrey Wright, who he's acted with before.
Yes.
Now this is his third.
Who's in a wheelchair now, in this movie?
Okay, that's one thing that like yeah, time has passed. But I love how Katniss wakes up.
Yeah.
She clearly hasn't seen him for a while.
Yeah.
And she's like, dude, oh my God, you're in a wheelchair. You know,
she
like,
gives this one look at one point, like, oh, you're in a wheelchair now.
But whatevs.
Yeah. It's again, and this series too, like you know, like you said, you wanted to get darker. I from the get go wanted this series to be darker, but it's a young adult series. But I just hear kids are forced to fight to, you know, the death. I'm just like, oh, sign me up for this weird post-apocalyptic.
Kid, not to get political, but kids in America go to school and they get shot, you know? Like, we can make this darker.
Yeah, okay, yeah, sure.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But there's still, like, some pretty, and we're going to play a clip where, like I said, like, but you know, the Plutarch and but I should really say Philip Seymour Hoffman and Jennifer Lawrence have fun in this scene or whatever, and we get to see a little bit of PSH's comedic chops. But that's like it is like there still is like light moments in now. This movie has like we see the aftermath of a genocide in this movie.
Yeah. Okay. So that's one of the weird things with this time delay that you're saying. If we picked up right after the last book, perhaps we didn't need to spend an hour of more of this film explaining what happened while she was asleep.
Yeah,
that's essentially what they do.
I kind of
if it was a mini series or something, I wouldn't mind it as much. Or if I watched the movies back to back, maybe.
I want them landing in 13. They're just like they just eliminated 12, or like they're flying over, and all of a sudden they. Because they're in stealth mode or something, they see like you know all the bombers going off, and she's freaking out on the plane. I don't. Just a few things could have been differently. Like this whole time, she's been there for a month, and they're getting cabin fever, and that explains Finnick like now really like he seemed normal on the plane, but now he's been you know like finds out that his girlfriend, wife, whatever she is, has been
maybe sister. I don't know.
Yeah. It was just I don't know. There's a few things that I don't know exactly how it plays in the books. I don't read really at all anyway, but I don't ever plan on reading the Hunger Games books.
This is exposition, you know.
Yeah.
Almost the entire time. Which is not, it's not terrible. Like, if you're going to do that, it's not a bad movie. Not by any stretch. It's just...
No, there's plenty of movies that are, like the second Cloverfield movie, talk about that takes place in a bunker underground, and it's not, because I said before, less locations and that kind of stuff.
No, I didn't think that was a criticism necessarily. Yeah. I mean, we love that movie.
You know, because Carnage, there really isn't, there, like the other movie, like the games, like you've got some, like there's the little bit of when they go to District 8, there's like that action, and then the only other action really in the movie is we see a few, like in the logging place, they climb the trees. It looks like the new Planet of the Apes or whatever. Like they climb the trees really fast and then bomb shit, and then there's the dam that blows up. So like that kind of action happens, but they're really, it's not to the level, since we don't have the games, it's not until part two that we get like all this craziness. And
at least I'm assuming.
Yeah. Again, from
one character that I'm very, very, very happy with how things are going. Well, maybe not I'm happy for her, but I'm happy with her arc, is Effie, who to me could have been like this nothing fucking character.
Uh-huh.
This like over the top character. It might be, it's one of Elizabeth Banks' best roles, I think.
Yeah.
In terms, she's like broken now, but she's still, so just to set the tone, kind of, Effie, did they take her there or something? That,
yeah, I get. I mean, they just, they, I don't know where she, I would assume she was in the Capitol during the games. I would think that's like,
yeah, I think that, when Hoffman left, she probably left.
Yeah, like, he probably scooped her up and said,
you're coming with me. Yeah. Maybe she knew too much.
Yeah, I think it was one of those things that she probably, well, so we learned, and I wrote down, no, Lenny Kravitz.
Yes, Senna is actually dead. We had this debate last time.
Yeah. So I think she probably learned that, and guilty by association. I think that's what it falls into. So I think,
yeah, she,
I think Plutarch,
for protection,
I think,
right,
Plutarch,
yeah,
tried to do the right thing and felt like, and but by all means, he's a schemer. He's in like showbiz in a way. He's in this.
Of course, yeah.
He's our PR guy in this. So yeah.
And she doesn't have any of her wigs, she doesn't have any of her dresses, but she's making the most of a bad situation.
Yeah.
And she's like one of the most inspiring...
What's that called?
Like a head wrap? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess a head wrap, yeah.
She's like one of the most inspiring characters to me, believe it or not, because she's like used to like the rich...
The glitz and glamour, yeah.
Glitz and glamour, and she's just like making the most of it.
Yeah.
And turning like what... terrible for her into something great. Is she like a revolutionary? No, not necessarily, but... She's built like a kinship and a family, especially with Katniss.
Yes.
and even your guy, Haymitch.
Haymitch.
That's like nice and great. But Hoffman shares a really good scene with her when he's just trying to convince her to.
Yeah, we should be. Yeah, because Katniss is being
catty.
Yeah. So
there's a cat in this film.
There is a cat. But yeah, let's play that clip for you.
Is it visiting hours again?
Miss Trinket, you see this door? It opens from the inside. I've told you these are the standard living quarters, same as everyone. You're not a prisoner. You're free to join the rest of 13.
Not looking like this. Thank you very much.
We have a bigger issue than wardrobe, Miss Trinket. Katniss has agreed to be the Mockingjay.
That poor thing.
And your girl on fire is burnt out. I need you to join this team now. I need someone she trusts.
What about Haymitch?
He's drying out in some facility a mile down.
Aiding rebels is not really my forte.
Miss Trinket, your days in the Capitol are over. No matter what happens here. If you want to play a prisoner of war, fine. Stay here and rot. I'll find someone else to be the Mockingjay's escort.
Who?
Anyone can be replaced.
Not your Mockingjay. The There isn't a soul in this dungeon who knows the first thing about Katniss. You honestly believe one of these cave dwellers is going to take my place? No.
So he goes, he's talking to Effie. He needs her to help Katniss. Katniss is, you know, she has conditions. She, you know, PSH sees, like, her passion and wants her to be the Mockingjay, this human, not just, like, I mean, the symbol of the Mockingjay, as we saw in Catching Fire, is being spray-painted places. People are doing the three-finger thing and whistling and all that, but they need her to be, I don't know, the, you know, the painting of Washington crossing the Delaware.
Yeah, I mean, just, like, a symbol for this new movement.
I guess our John Hancock. I don't know if everyone knew that he wrote his name really big on the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, I mean, she literally almost is the Declaration of Independence, you know,
yeah.
In a television world. Like, she is just, like, that symbol. She's the one who's inspired all these people, essentially, to rebel, and they just want her to continue to do that. But I thought it was, like, conflicting. I think they should have played it up more, and I guess this is what I was saying before. Like, that should have been played up more, like, you're using me like they were using me.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's fucking using me for their own cause, and that's annoying. But she, it was like, PETA! You know? That's my reasoning!
Yeah, this is definitely, I think, so far. I mean, you know, I'm not saying she's bad, but, like, Jennifer Lawrence, just, I guess, again, it's split up into two, so we'll talk about it more, but as of right now, I think she's Jennifer Lawrence is, like, knocked a peg down a little bit as far as her. I guess maybe it was just because of the content that they're giving her in this film. You know, she has definitely some. I mean, she has. I found out she has a beautiful voice. I know she sang in, like, other movies, but this one, that's very. It was actually a Golden Globe nominated song.
Yeah, I really liked that song. That was a cool song. But I don't know. I don't know if it's her fault or. Look, you're an actor, right? You're filming two things back to back. When you film two things back to back, rarely does it ever work. Because you're getting the full script and, like, oh, that's great, you know.
Yeah.
But it's hard to, like, almost process that way. Can you even name, not even book adaptations, like, two things that were filmed back to back that ended up doing well?
Well, like, technically they filmed all the Lord of the Rings in the same time.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Off the top of my head, I can't think of any.
You know, there's, like, the Matrix, the two Matrix ones.
Oh, yeah, which didn't do well, yeah.
No, I mean, they did well, but they were,
like, no, but two and three are, like,
crap.
Yeah, like, definitely considered, especially, yeah, considered much more.
I feel like any time they do this, we all get hyped up.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, yeah, well.
Wait, what are they? Oh, well, they're, I guess we'll, know kind of soon, but then definitely almost a little over a year from now, because they did that for Infinity War.
Yeah, I guess we'll see.
We'll see.
That
I knew there was something on my
head. That's going to be interesting.
That's what I'm thinking about.
That's going to be interesting, actually. That's a good example, because, I mean, I don't
that's
know.
Also, those are then also the culmination of, like, we're talking 18 fucking films. So it's just, that's just a whole, but that's, I knew there's something on my mind.
Well, like, yes, Infinity War might be one of the most ambitious films.
Yeah, it's got like 72 ever. Main characters.
I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
But it's fun to talk about and fun to compare.
The star of Game of Thrones, like, head, you know, Peter Dinklage is in Infinity War, and isn't, like, no one even, like, really knows, like, except for, like, you know, when people all of a sudden just, like, realize, like, I read a while ago, and then there's speculation what character, yada yada yada. But we're talking TV, one of TV's biggest stars is in a movie, and, like, everyone's just like, eh. Like, you know, it's just like, he, you know, his name was just found on a poster the other day. But I really like that. It was kind of great. You know, Elizabeth Banks, she's been around for a while,
mm-hmm.
But just to see her go toe-to-toe with PSH, I think it's a testament to...
That, like, yeah, I mean, you know? No one would ever say Elizabeth Banks is, like, in Philip Seymour Hoffman's...
No, and I don't necessarily, like, do I put PSH with, like, De Niro? Yes, I do, but...
Yeah.
you know, I'm just trying to think, like, what he experienced. So, like, back when he was in Flawless, I'm trying to think. I mean, and also, they're a bit more separated in age, Robert De Niro and Philip Seymour Hoffman from Elizabeth Banks and Philip Seymour Hoffman. But, you know, I think it was just, as a, you know, woman that tends to be in a lot of comedies.
Yeah, like rom-coms and stuff.
Rom-coms. And like, it's just, I think it was a really good, like, she's definitely become one of my more favorite characters. Unfortunately, Haymitch didn't have a big, like,
but they had a nice, little moment in this film.
They did, and I feel like there's, like, something happening there.
I think so, too. I hope so. Like, also, yeah. You know this term ship that everyone's using?
What?
Ship. It's like, oh, I'm shipping these characters, I'm shipping that character. Okay. So it's a term people use, Kyle. I'm going to educate you with the younger people's lingo today. For instance, you know what the biggest shipping in, you mentioned
UPS?
Game of Thrones? The biggest ship in Game of Thrones is shipping, what's his name? Why am I forgetting their
Gale?
No. What's the redhead? The guy you like, we all like.
Redhead? In Game of Thrones, Tormund. Yeah.
Tormund and Brienne of Tarth.
Yeah.
Like, that's like everyone shipping that relationship. That means it's like you see two characters on TV that you just really want them to get together.
Sometimes shipping is...
I believe it comes from relationship.
That makes sense.
I believe so.
Yeah, totally.
So, people, again, if you've seen the whole Hunger Games thing...
Yeah, relationship, so not... It could be platonic as well, because definitely they're going for that with now... Because everyone loved it in season two of Stranger Things, but Dusty and the... Why am I thinking of... I'm forgetting the older kid's name.
Yeah. It's just like... It's this is something that people do a lot now. Mm-hmm. They were probably doing it at the time. Maybe they didn't call it that. And we look at the Hunger Games because we're not too familiar with the series. I'm definitely shipping... Hey, Mitch.
And
Effie.
Effie.
You know? And I need to be rewarded with this. Something needs to happen. But, yeah, because they came... They're both, like, the coaches or whatever they're called. The escort, whatever. And
well, they kind of are, like... I mean, I know we don't really get... We get more of Katniss's sister in this movie, but, like, the mom and the sister have always kind of... Ironically, because her sister is, like, the catalyst
for
the first movie, and then, obviously, you know, the series and everything like that. But... her father has passed away. We see a picture of him in this movie that she goes and rescues or takes back. But they've always been like a maternal, paternal kind of, you know, figures, Effie and Haymitch.
Yeah, and they've been like almost polar opposites.
So they need to bang. That's what I'm saying. he needs to be stone cold sober, and she has to have no makeup. And that's how you know love is real.
It's true.
It's true.
Because they're stripped of their crutches almost.
Yes.
And they're just human.
Ah.
Anyway, so, but you're absolutely right. By the way, I have to say, Haymitch is sober in this film because they do not allow alcohol in District 13.
And that's why you're saying, like, Katniss isn't questioning. I don't trust those. guys.
Fair. But
just say a nice little dinner cordial every once in a while, you know.
But back to what you said, though, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Elizabeth Banks, like, she holds her own, which is great and just awesome. Like, it's awesome. I feel like she should, now that this is a drama film, but I feel like she should take more dramatic roles. And she, I mean,
if well, after she, this, she also then she's gone into directing.
Yeah, but so. Not, you know, did she do Pitch Perfect and stuff?
Pitch Perfect 2, yeah.
Pitch Perfect 2.
No, yeah. I'm just saying she's expanding her.
Yeah, she's more respected. But,
yeah.
But I hope she does some other, like, toe to toe great actors stuff. So. Effie does a good job, I guess, of helping Katniss feel welcome.
She's, as you said, one of your favorite characters. She's becoming one of my favorite characters. I love just, there's a nice, and Katniss is really, she's, you know, seen better days. There's just a very nice, warm embrace, Effie and Katniss meeting again, and it's like, you know, the band's back together kind of.
Yeah, some of them, you know, some have died, Senna, rest in peace. Peeta, I'm like, whatever, he could stay in the Capitol, so I'm concerned.
I really don't like him. I don't like the way Josh Hutcherson looks. I don't like him.
Why would you choose that over a Hemsworth?
And you know what? And Katniss is a bit of... and Lady Hoff fans, forgive me. She's a bit of a cock tease.
She's not a...
Bit
I will defend her. She's not a quote-unquote cock tease.
Ball buster.
No, come on. She's
blue,
not
like, blue ballsy. Like,
she was like forced.
He calls her out on it. They're at least, again, like, I'm not saying one can interpret it one way, but the movie's kind of telling us, at least from his perspective as well, that
who's,
like
PETA's?
No, from Gail's, because Gail. He says, "Oh, you just always come to me when you need a shoulder to cry on." But then she gives like a little kiss on the cheek, and then they make out, and then like, and even in this was, as far as trivia goes, Jennifer Lawrence always made sure to eat really smelly foods to bother
I saw that,
Liam
yeah.
Hemsworth in their kissing scene. That's just funny. I don't care about any of this, but like, but I think as far as the character goes, yeah, she. I'm not saying she's dealt with a lot of shit.
But she,
so,
but okay,
yeah,
like, but is she forced to pick one of these guys? Is that what you're saying? We need to be that she has to pick one.
She should. I mean, who eventually? Oh, Finnick. But then it just comes to what he didn't have much to do in this movie, and it just felt kind of lazy. Then like they were like, oh, we need to give. It felt like they were like, oh, we need to give Finnick a scene, like one more scene before he's reunited. And he says like, it's almost like that crappy like Joseph Gordon-Levitt saying the Batman Dark Knight Rises, like, when I was a kid and you came to the orphanage, I could tell. It's just like, I see it like, you know, when PETA was unconscious, like, you love him. It's like, it's been teased so much since the first movie. It's just...
So you're saying she has to choose?
She could be... at this point in the story, like,
life, if two attractive ladies were after you, you'd feel like you'd have to choose.
Well, as we both know, I'm a shallow man, so if they're both attractive, then I'll just choose the more attractive one, or the one that has the better personality out of the both attractive ones.
But that's debatable. Oh, not really in this, honestly.
No, there's somebody to choose. Choose somebody.
I know, it's but just... she doesn't know. I don't think a woman should be forced to choose by society, Kyle. I'm not like
But
you.
Then she does, so she does.
Like, I don't know that. I don't know that. Way to spoil things for me.
I didn't spoil it. I said she does.
She chooses somebody?
She chooses somebody.
I
didn't say it was either of them. She chooses somebody. She ends up with Fulton.
Yeah, but we... Yes, I wish. But
nah, that would never work. His tongue was cut out.
Oh, God. But we always think that things end where the movie ends, you know?
Yeah.
We don't know. She could choose somebody and then...
Yeah, well... Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
So I'm not so consumed with... Like, oh, I need her to choose somebody. I just don't find PETA to have any attractive qualities.
Well, there we go. And that's ultimately what it stems from. I'm like, it seems like there's a really good... And he goes out on a mission for PETA. He brought... Like, he saved her
mom. He seems like a better dude. He does.
Yeah, exactly. He just seems like a far better choice. So that's also where all this...
So my
vocal angst stems from.
I think what you're more trying to say is... If she has to choose,
yeah, okay, sure.
Why
thank
choose
you, thank
PETA.
You for yeah. That's
you know.
I'm never saying someone like you can do whatever the fuck you want, but it just at this point it more seems like it seems like poor writing. Like they're like we just got to keep some kind of thing going again. Not less about these fake characters.
And we said this. We said this last week. This is probably the least interesting thing about this series to me.
Yeah, well, let's put it this way: as far as a big thing in like articles talking about modern films, like what you know, for, let's go my all-time you know favorite movie series of all time, Star Wars. They're saying, you know, it was like, oh, is Rey and Finn, or then there was like, is Finn and Poe gonna end up as something? Is Rey and Kylo Ren gonna end up? It's just, and then plenty of people are like, well. Why does she need to have? Why does there need to be, or at least the main character have a love interest in this? I mean, Luke didn't even have.
There was hardly a love angle in Star Wars until the later, you know, films.
Yeah, I mean the prequels really made.
Oh, no.
I mean that was.
Yeah, screw the prequels.
Oh, okay.
No, I meant like, you know, that you obviously you have the Han Leia thing.
And that becomes a big element in Empire.
But it's not heavy played. It's not. It doesn't. Matter in the end, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Han did it because of his love for Leia. We could debate that to the cows come home
sure.
if you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, yeah.
But I you know, it's not a big part of it. And to me, this is like a similar thing.
No, so I'm saying
it should be
yeah.
like, at least for what I care about,
yeah.
this is not something that I don't need to see a love story. I hate in how films we always need to see a fucking love story or like a love angle. Someone needs to kiss somebody. But I'll take it back a little and understand. This is young adult.
Yeah, exactly. These are,
you know, this is your hormones are going off.
Oh my God, I remember those days.
You want to see it. You're still in those days, Kyle.
I am.
Just kidding. you know, I get
I hunger these games. The games I hunger.
This is you and your very rudimentary puns today. But they need that for this audience, you know?
Yes. That's, I think, ultimately, that's like the slap in the face that anyone that deep dives is just like, you.
Do you realize what you're deep diving?
Yeah.
So back,
play to the crowd. Know your audience, play to the crowd.
Exactly. Speaking of our audience and our crowd, this is a Philip Seymour Hoffman podcast.
Yes.
So we should talk more about his character. And we said he's in a lot of scenes, but not a lot of solo stuff.
Yeah, so it's we always love playing clips for you. So the next one is one kind of right at, very, very, very much soon after the Effie scene.
Yeah, I want to say I did like, and we couldn't find the clip, but I did like his little interaction with Julianne Moore at the beginning. In
terms yeah,
I
like, couldn't find
this
it.
This is my girl kind of thing. Yeah. Like, she's like, this is who you promised me? He's like, yeah, trust me. You know?
Yeah.
She's cool. But we have this scene, though, that's also like a pretty good scene because this movie is a lot about, I wouldn't call this a showbiz film. But I feel like it's a lot of behind the camera stuff.
It's very propaganda-esque.
But it's like one of the most directing films I've ever seen. One of the most films where you see like directors directing stuff.
Yeah, almost like insight to the industry.
Yeah, like
creationism of video.
What was the film that I'm forgetting
State of Maine.
State of Maine. Yeah, yeah. Hoffman film. It's definitely not that, but it's kind of like we're getting this. So let's play the clip and then we'll talk about it.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Okay, let's bring up the setting.
Little wind. Okay, Katniss, we're going to start you down on one knee.
Okay.
And as you rise up, you're going to hold your flag in the air and deliver your line. And remember, you've just stormed the outskirts of the Capitol. Arm in arm with your brothers and sisters.
Okay.
Whenever you're ready.
People of Penham, we fight, we dare, we...
Does she know the line?
I know it.
Okay.
I know it. I'm
right.
Sorry. She's
again.
Warming up.
Okay. All right. With energy, go.
People of Penham, we fight! We dare to end this hunger for justice!
You've just been in battle! Excuse my outburst. You've just been in battle. Try it again. Whenever you're ready.
So in this scene, he's in like the booth and Katniss is in front of, I mean, not a green screen, but it makes this whole digital... rubble behind her, and she's holding this thing that will end up being a flag in one hand and her bow in another, and she's got her uniform that that Cinna made for her before he was, you know, he did it already because he was part of, we didn't know this either, he was definitely part of like 13, you know.
Yeah,
13.
Something I had questioned last time, I didn't know if he was just like a creative fashion designer or part of like the, he was both.
And PSH in this movie, again, like, even the first scene that we get with him when Katniss goes and talks to him in, like, the boardroom or whatever, he's hunched over a little bit. Like, he's definitely, you know, like, I mean, Julianne Moore says to him at one point, you know, you're not, you're used to the Capitol lifestyle, like, this is what it's like bunkering underground, especially when the bombs are being dropped later and he's really nervous, and she's like, you have no experience in this, like, you know. Like, I'm not going to talk with you. But anyway, in this scene, we got that funny... I love when he just kind of yells, like, you've just been in battle! Like, like really, because she's not a... You know, she's not an actor in that world. And so what he's seen needs to come out of her. And I love that it's later on, then, like, Haymitch kind of brings it to their attention when he comes... out from his little, I guess, sobering up sabbatical.
Yeah, Katniss not a good actor, you know?
Yeah.
Two things I thought of when I saw this scene. Like, one slightly meta and one more meta. The first was, this was Plutarch, the game maker again, you know?
Yeah, he's back.
Trying to control
yeah.
the elements and control this world. But it also made me think of Philip Seymour Hoffman, like the play director. And I can't believe it didn't click with me in the previous film. Like, a Hunger Games game director is the sickest, in both sense of the word, in terms of, like, gross, but also, like, again, the hip
illest.
Kid lingo,
yeah.
you know, because we're trying to play to our teen audience now.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, the sickest writing, directing, creating gig you can
it's
ever get.
Awesome. Yeah.
You know, you're making this whole world and game. Yeah, unfortunately, people have to die, but it's, like, it's a complete immersive theater, similar to Schenectady, New York. You know,
yeah.
it's funny, and it were just, it's so Hoffman to me, like not maybe in this post-apocalyptic world, but when we strip the veneers of that and realize what he is in
this
film,
yeah, he's channeling what he's experiencing.
Yeah,
yeah,
putting on his productions for yeah. Labyrinth. So I love it because
I bet jokes were made between him and like Jeffrey Wright.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that reminds me of when you directed like Oedipus Rex.
No, but like it's that. So I'm more and more understanding why Hoffman would have been drawn to this role.
Yeah,
how he would have connected to this role. That
and
seems...
we know he was also a political. He was like from the documentary that he like hosted. The party's over. He was politically involved
yeah.
and was interested in the game of politics. So I think that like you said, combined with real life, you know, directing of stage and one time with a film. That, yeah, he really enjoyed this kind of character. And, you know, it was... Why not be in a franchise like this? I think it also... the series was... It's not as big of a commitment as a, you know, Harry Potter movie or something
no.
like that.
No. I don't think we've talked enough today about just the fact that this is his last work and why he... you know, would take on this role, so
mm-hmm.
so I'm glad we're talking about it. I think that he'd still, like, again, this is something I mentioned last week. I was afraid that he was going to lose it. I still think when he's acting here that he's not
he's
mailing
it
in.
He's got
he's,
it.
He's commanding a presence. And this is exactly why they cast him in this
just
film and in this series.
The veteranship of him is just clear and present. I mean, him and Julianne Moore, they both really command the screen in this film. I mean, everyone does a really good job. Again, love Elizabeth Banks, Jennifer Lawrence, obviously. Even, like, Mahershala Ali, like, not that his character is interesting, but he's just a really great actor. And, you know, he's got some, I guess, you know, I mean, just fun scenes.
Yeah.
But yeah, PSH, I mean, you know. We're fans, but in the end, it was just it's kind of fun because it's a bit of it's like you know a different character for him, and it's just fun to see him in this very in depth. You know, like it's a movie that also as an actor, you know, you said it on Catching Fire episode that you read that he really him and Jeffrey Wright were interested and really got like into it and read the books and but it's just I think a lot that of like the kind of character that you could write so much backstory as like an actor.
Yeah, for
that,
sure.
That he just has in his head. I bet he's you know has. Just all these other stories of like I directed this person and this you know from District 3 and they gave me this like you know.
So I rented this on Amazon
mm-hmm.
and I remember texting him like, "Wow, this is a long movie. What the hell?"
Wow.
But you're like, "Really?"
Yeah, I was like, "How really was
you
it?"
You think
like,
it's long? Like 2 hours?
Yeah,
and
it,
I said,
yeah.
"It says 2." I'm like, "Looking, this is 2 hours 47." Then I read the description and it says special features would come after.
Interesting. I've never seen it before.
So yeah, on Amazon to rent.
Yeah.
So I let it run, and the first or second thing they had was a featurette on Philip Seymour Hoffman. And we talked about this, that maybe we'll play the clips either next week or even on a further
maybe next
episode.
Week, because since, I mean, we both haven't seen it, I don't know how, I mean, we know he's
yeah.
in that movie.
But regardless,
and, yeah.
that's like, you know,
yeah.
that's between us.
Yeah.
But so many, it was about him, and so many actors said the same thing. Like, he brought a presence, a professionalism there, mm-hmm. and that he was just, and they had, like, outtakes with him, which were great. He had such a sense of humor on set, but he would just be able to, like, turn it on, and he was questioning and curious, and I can't tell you how happy that makes me, because, yeah. again, my fear was that he just took the, I'd never seen them before,
yeah.
that he just took these for the money, and that he was just gonna, like, mail it in, and that he was a curmudgeon on set, because, you know, we've heard stories off air that he wasn't the most pleasant guy, even Amos Poe, if you remember that episode, mentioned on air that he... he mentioned on air that uh-huh. he didn't have the most pleasant interaction the last time he saw him. A lot
yeah.
of people were saying... And there's a lot of scholarship and interviews with people. So the last time they saw him and personally, that it wasn't like the best moments for him. And this was, again,
but I think
at
just,
the same time.
Yeah, but like on set.
Yeah, on set, he still was professional. He still... As far as we see.
We know like his favorite thing was theater and directing, that world. But I think he just loved being on set. And this, at this point, we're talking, this is over 20 years of experience. Again, just a veteran, it's definitely got to be, those, like, sets look like some, like, cool practical sets, mm-hmm. especially, like, the underground bunker. I think it's just, like, a lot to, and then you're working with, like, some of your oldest friends and collaborators, Julianne Moore and Jeffrey Wright right there. You know what I mean? They're in every scene that he's in for the most part.
Yeah, and Jeffrey Wright was speaking, and he said that, you know, they would go out. Like hang out after scenes yeah. and they would work on stuff and they would work through issues they were having with the film, like in terms of their characters, which, like I said, it's sad because this is the last thing, but I'm so happy to see that till the end, till his last projects, he was a worker and he was tackling his material like a professional, and mm-hmm. it shows he's great in these films.
Yeah, I said before that, I mean, because this film is very much, again, it's like getting this propaganda out there and getting it to the other districts, and then after they seize this opportunity when people from, I don't know if it's like district, on the border of District 1 in the capital, but the dams that are power, you know, supply the capital.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a couple little missions here.
Yeah.
You know, they blow up a dam and the capital goes quiet. Yeah. They try to get the people back.
But District 13 sees the opportunity and sends in a mission, a group of people. Marshall Ali's in it. Hemsworth is in it.
Katniss doesn't go.
Katniss doesn't go. She doesn't even know that's going on.
Yeah.
We think that Sutherland all of a sudden then is going to like kill this whole team, but then they come back. And Peter was rescued, Joanna was rescued, and as well as Phoenix, whoever
his
the person, the person he cares about. And it's that this like was a little like very weird sci-fi like write-off kind of thing. But they gave Peter some kind of poison, and he ends up and like also over time like what is that called when you like. Associate something like I forget. There's some kind of test. Don't they do that with like dogs and stuff, like the bell and stuff like that in that room?
Pavlov.
Pavlov. It's like a really extreme version of that they associate Katniss with bad things and trauma to Peeta, so he eventually turns. So he starts, and we learn that from the first Hunger Games. And Peeta's thing is that he's super strong, so he pushes away. I think Marshall Ali and Haymitch or something like that, and starts choking Katniss, and she ends up in a neck brace. But it's pretty much that. I mean, we don't really get to see much of
Joanna's back.
Plutarch. Joanna's back with a shaved head.
Yeah, but does she even have a line?
Nope.
Okay.
So maybe hopefully she does something really badass with an axe in the next movie. They mentioned that they have a trident ready for Finnick when he's ready, so I feel like that's coming in part two. So I mean, it's just, you know,
we leave it very open-ended and not look.
Well, we see him one more time, PSH. And that's because Julianne Moore or the President Coyne speaks a few times, and I love that he gives her notes. And, you know, she kind of is dismissive towards him. But you see, it feels like she put on, like, a little bit more makeup to talk to people in, like, mm-hmm. the big tube, underground tube thing. But I love that we see Plutarch mouthing the words that he, like, wrote for her speech. And so that's just, like...
Always a director, always an architect.
Yes. And, I mean, the final image is Katniss walks up and sees PETA, like, thrashing back and forth because he's been poisoned and, you know,
something,
totally,
whatever. I mean,
brainwashed.
Screw PETA.
And, and then, I mean, the last, then we get, at this point, he had passed away. So, in this film as well, we get in memory of Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah. It leaves me wanting more, but it just, again, it feels like...
I'm looking forward to the conclusion of not this podcast, but this movie.
Yeah, it's series. Bittersweet, you know?
Yes.
But, I don't know, like, I feel like no matter what, story-wise, I'm going to probably be saying this should have just been one movie.
Yes.
There's just a lot we didn't need. Like, there's, like, two missions where there should have just been one mission.
Yeah.
You know, like, a lot of, like... repeats, a lot of she's not gonna do it, okay, let's convince her, okay, she's gonna do it,
yeah,
now,
but she's, you know, like, PETA, yeah, it's
you,
yeah,
you didn't, it just feels drawn out tighter. Again, for the money,
yeah,
that, where it's not, again, it's not terrible, it's not like I'm not watching or I'm not interested in it,
yeah,
it's still, again, and I think that shows on like the Rotten Tomatoes score and just a general critic consensus, it's like, yeah, I'll watch it.
And I don't think we would have lost any PSH that way.
No, I don't think so, because I don't think
his scenes were, like, necessary scenes.
And you know, like, so I told you the special features rolled. There's, like, 10 deleted scenes. I'm like, what the hell were they thinking? Jeez. And some of them were good, actually. No. But, like, good but unnecessary. Like, there's one where Effie is, like, doing her makeup, and she's just like... have you girls ever seen Rouge? Because there's, like, other people doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's more into it. But, again, we didn't need it because we got everything we needed to get.
Again, what that, especially sci-fi, any, like, that's real world building, I just feel like it's just meant, or just from book, it just would be better in TV. Like, if Harry Potter came out when, like, once, like, HBO was, like, obviously HBO was, like, always, like, very good, and it was always like, it's not TV,
but they
HBO.
I know what you're saying, but they never... Harry Potter's so many books, and they only did that with the last one, where they split it like that.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, you could have gotten, you know, like, 8-episode seasons out of, like, each of those, you know, because there's just...
Yeah,
there's
you
just
probably so could.
Whatever.
You know, you probably could. Game of Thrones, I think, is one of those things where... it's probably definitely better on TV because it's even that they're cutting characters when it's on TV.
I can't even imagine the things that would have gotten cut and just like the aging of people in movie.
Yeah, no way. I think Harry Potter is okay. I think it does it well.
I think this would have been a good miniseries.
But I think maybe some of the ones that we haven't seen that didn't do as well, like Divergent. I don't know enough about Maze Runner to make that claim, you know. But I think maybe those would have been okay, but I don't think there's a network for it.
Because no, we need to there's there no, like, we go. We need the young adult, like...
Young adult, yeah, but premium subscription network.
Yeah.
It almost doesn't make sense, but maybe,
all
in, maybe
baby,
in the world
all that
of...
that babysitting money will go.
Yeah, maybe in the world of, like, services like Netflix and Amazon and stuff like that. Now it can be done. But I don't think it was as hot at the time.
No, that's why I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, but now, like, it's not weird, like, for this to be on Amazon or this to be on a Netflix. Like, Stranger Things probably would never have found a home if it wasn't for a place like Netflix.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a show that's going to be on HBO.
No.
So,
no.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, so I think there is room for this now. So I think you're right. Maybe in the future that will be a better home for this kind of stuff. But again, this series isn't bad, and we've enjoyed our ride here. And like I said, I'm looking forward to the conclusion of the series, not the podcast.
Yes. Obviously, next week, it's Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2.
Mockingjay Part 2. And our last film we'll talk about.
Yes.
But it will not be our last episode.
No, we've got Part 3...
Yes, we'll be...
conclusion episode.
We'll be recapping the third... period. Yeah, third act. Thinking hockey. Yes, we'll be recapping the third act of his career. The final act, unfortunately. But it's a lot of meaty stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting stuff. One of the most... I would say Act 2 is the one I was most familiar with. Act 1, obviously, least familiar with.
Yeah, late Act 2 is like... the very
the prime. But
and then early Act 3 all.
Act 3 was him as Hollywood royalty, him as a star.
Yeah.
And what he did with it. So I'm excited to talk about that. But next week, we, you know, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Hunger Games. And again, we're still working. Definitely by next week, we'll have some concrete details about a nice way that we plan to go take this podcast out.
Yes.
So stay tuned for that.
We're wrangling a bunch of young adults, and they're gonna fight to the death.
Yes, we're gonna have our own little Hunger Games game. Yeah. Our P.S. Isle of Hoffman Hunger
Games. Our Hoffman games.
Something else we'll announce next week is something we've kind of discussed, and between this week and next week, we're gonna finalize the details. Check out our Facebook, but the other guys have done it on the CageClub.me shows, which is we decided we're gonna have an award show. You know, kind of, not an award show, but we're going to give some Hoffman awards that you guys can vote on. That'll be decided at our kind of later thing. You know, a lot of murky details right now. But but start to think about your favorite Hoffman performances, favorite memories, stuff like that.
Favorite hairstyle of his. Favorite accent he's done. Some frivolous stuff too. We just want what have you got? You know, what's been some things you've seen just like grow from role to role, or you know, like we said, we love his political movies or his music movies. So just yeah.
Trust me, we're the last guys to leave the party. You know, we're gonna linger here as long as we can.
Oh my God, yeah.
So in the next, definitely by next week, we'll have this announced as well.
Yes.
And it'll be, you'll get a couple weeks of voting in, and we'll announce the awards. But stay tuned, especially stay tuned to our Facebook. But again, you could always find us and comment on Facebook. Find our podcast anywhere podcasts are made and sold.
Yeah.
Same bat time, same bat channel, that kind of thing. And anything else you want to add, Kyle?
Well, they don't say it in this movie. May the odds forever be in your favor. Is it forever be in your favor? Yeah. But stay uncool.
Yes.
We're kidding.
That's
stay uncool, you Hoff
fans. For one of the last times.
Stay uncool. Cool.